So today we are continuing our series called The Blessed Family, and today we will be going over part two of our message called Protected. And the Lord keeps having me hang around on this, and I must give you a warning that very likely will be a part three, because as I started getting into it, the Lord just had me camp on this subject, and I believe He's saying don't move on it until I say it's time to move on, and then you will be ready to build upon the next level, you know, the next precept as we go into, you know, how to have a blessed family. And we're going to talk in the future about, you know, the different areas and how men and women, youth, children are attacked differently, you know, what their biggest enemies are and how to go about those things, how to be blessed in those things. So anyway, that's kind of where we're going in the future. But right now we're talking about having a blessed family. So we're going to start with a little bit of review. Is that okay? Let's start with a little bit of review. So we looked at the word blessing, right? And there's a title slide, good, which comes from the Hebrew word barak, right? We talked about that, which means to cause divine favor or to cause to prosper. We first find it in Genesis chapter 1, right? And it said that God blessed man and woman. He created them and He blessed them and He said, be fruitful and multiply, right? And then we went into the life of Abraham and how God gave him three very distinct, very powerful commands, you know, that release another layer of blessing upon his life. Right? You remember that last week? Some of you are like, I don't remember. Well, let me give you a quick review. So Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 18. This is the third layer. This is the greatest. It says in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely, what? Bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, what does it say? All nations on earth will be, what? Blessed, because what? You have obeyed me. For every layer of blessing, you know, there's usually a condition. There's a command of the Lord. So you remember, God led them through different levels of obedience that release different levels of blessing. So I want to point something out. It is important to know that God is not here to just improve our life. He's looking to maximize our lives. Okay? As we delve into the topic of the family, I want to point out that God does not just simply want you to have a better family or better family life or to prosper financially. But He desires for you to be an expression of who He is. Your family, each member is a part of the plan. When, like Abraham, we come to the realization and the revelation that nothing is worth living outside of the perfect living God's will. Let me say that again. Nothing is worth it outside of the perfect will of God. You need to come to that realization. I don't just want to give you a 12-step self-help program. This is how to be a better dad. This is how to be a better husband. This is how to be a better wife. This is how to be, you know, in the process of you submitting to the God's will and design for your life, all those things will be met. And you will have a blessed life, a blessed family, a blessed community, a blessed nation. In the manner that we submit to the Lord's will, to the Lord's design. Amen? So it is important that we understand the laws that govern the spiritual world that we live in. Amen? All right, then we're getting this. If God promises for a new level of obedience or surrender, there's going to be a release of blessing, and that has a specific purpose. Every blessing has a specific purpose. Amen? Some blessings are just for everybody. Right? Second part of Matthew chapter 5 verse 45 says that He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Is everybody blessed by the breath of life? Is everybody blessed by the sun that comes up in the morning? Is everybody blessed by the beauty? Amen? Uh-oh. Am I moving too much? Would it be better if I use the handheld? All right. Switching over. All right. So there are, I would say, common garden variety blessings. Is that okay if I say that? Like that? But then there are blessings which are released upon your life based on your obedience, and they affect different parts of your life. You can't just say, oh, I'm just blessed, 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 like it's just a bucket that you fill with blessing and it just spills over into every area of your life. If you don't surrender a certain area of your life, you will not see blessing in that area of your life. I can't just pray a blessing and everything's going to be all right if you're not submitting to God's word. In the manner that you submit to God's word, you will see breakthrough in that area of your life. So today we've been talking about walls falling down. God will give you the grace, the inspiration to obey Him. But as you obey Him, as you make the right choices, then you will begin to see blessing. Remember, Abraham stepped out from Ur of the Chaldeans. And the moment that he stepped down, it says he was blessed. And God made sure that he reached his destination. And that set him up for the next level of blessing. Amen? So if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, you can see that there's conditions for blessings. And if you don't do them, then you get curses. It's conditional. Yes, there are blessings that just apply to everybody, but the ones that we really want to get to are the ones that God says, hey, obey me in this area, and you will see how I'm going to bless you. And not only that, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and, you know, nations are going to be birthed from you, and, you know, everybody around you is going to be blessed, and in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Wouldn't you love to have a blessing like that, you know, spoken over your life? Amen. That's what we want to get to. So, as we looked at the life of Abraham, we saw that every blessing required a new level of obedience. And there were three things that God asked Abraham to do. Number one, leave your people, right, and go to a place that I will show you. Number two, make a covenant with me, circumcising all of the males in your clan, and you will perpetuate this, you know, forever. And number three, give me your firstborn son. Those were three major commands that God gave Abraham that required uncommon obedience, but that also released uncommon blessing on your life. Are we getting this? So blessing is brought through brokenness each time on our life and on his life. Listen, God will not entrust his authority to someone who is not broken. Somebody once said, don't trust someone that does not have a limp or someone without a limp. It's like, Jacob, before I can entrust you, this 12 nations that are going to be birthed from you, I need to break you. And he said that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord the whole night. And he says, but I'm not letting go until you bless me. And eventually he was blessed. Amen? So God needs to break us. Unbroken horses cannot be used for battle. They stay in the stable. Until this horse is broken, we can't use it out there, because as soon as it sees the bullets flying or the swords, they're going to buck and you're going to fall off, and it's not going to be good. So God cannot use somebody that's not broken. So when he asks you to do something that seems unpleasant, Hebrews chapter 12 says that every discipline seems unpleasant at the time, but eventually, for those that are trained by it, it brings a harvest of righteousness. Amen? So God is going to ask you to do things that may seem unpleasant. Here's a real example, tithing. It's so unpleasant at times. You're like, oh, God, you know, 10% of my money, I don't understand. But if you trust Him in it and you obey Him, all of a sudden, a special blessing is released. You give Him 10%, He blesses your 90. Amen? And you can give Him more if you want. Some people have done that. They give a lot more than 10%. You know, but this is going beyond the call. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. So each time, layers of blessing were placed on his life. So we're going to summarize this real quick. I'm going to show you the slide that I showed you last week. Number one, what does blessing do? It releases purpose. It releases purpose in your life. God has a very specific purpose in your life. Each of us fit a piece of the puzzle that God has here in Sierra Vista. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. You're like, no, not me. You don't know me. Yeah, well, I'm telling you, you have a purpose in God. All right? God blessed them, he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. When you received Jesus, you were blessed with salvation, and your history took a major turn. Number two, he set us apart. The blessings that God places on his people, they set us apart from the rest of the world. We read last week, he blessed Noah in a special way. Then he blessed Shem, one of his sons, in a special way. Then he blessed Abraham in a special way, and Isaac, and Jacob, you know. And you can go on down the line all the way through, you know, history, all the way to Jesus and us. All right, number three. Actually, let me read you a quick scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, his eyes look to and fro all of the earth, looking for someone faithful to show himself strong on their behalf. So he's ranging. Amen? You know, if you're faithful, I am looking, I am scanning, see what you're doing, if you're being obedient in this area, and if you're faithful, I'm going to show myself strong on your behalf. I'm going to bless you. Number three, blessing provides for our needs. When he gives us a command or a vision, he also has the provision for our lives. Adam and Eve, when they were placed, it says, you have everything you need. You can eat from all these trees. Just don't eat from this one, right? The knowledge of the good and evil tree. Okay? And we know the rest of this story. Number four, it says protection. And hence the title of the message, protection. To reach our destination. Right? God is going to protect you. He's going to protect his investment in your life so that you reach your destination. Your ultimate destination is heaven. Right? But also, he has different missions for you while you're here on earth. And he wants you to make sure that you overcome him. So as he'll bless you as you obey what he commands you to do, and he'll make sure that you reach your destination. He's going to protect you. Just like he protected Abraham all through that land. You know, there was no robber, no raider, no bad people that could come against him because he was under blessing. Amen. We talked about the people in the desert, that there was a people, the Amorites, that tried to come against them, the Moabites as well. And then this king, Balak, you know, he said Balaam to go curse them. He said, no, because they are blessed. You cannot curse them. Unless, right, they disobeyed on their own, and then they step from under the protection, and now they can be affected by curses. All right, so we're just reviewing here, right? Number five, blessing establishes authority. You cannot have authority unless you've been under authority. How do people progress in ranks in the military? You learn authority, and the more faithful you are, the greater authority you're giving. All right, you may start with a team, all right? You may start, you know, you may get like a squad, and then a platoon, a company, you know, battalion, brigade, and so on and so forth, division, all every echelon. But you got to go through the levels. Amen? Jesus said, whoever is faithful over little things will be given more to manage. And the same principle holds true. If you're not being submitted to your authority, God will not give you authority. Because we want to be able to call out those demons out, right? We want to be able to, you know, speak over the sick and for them to recover and speak those things. Well, you want the backing to be there. You know, for officers, the backing of the United States of America, in the Department of Defense, you know, but for us is the backing of God Almighty. That when you speak, you know, things happen. So this was a review so far. Are we ready to move on to the good stuff? All right. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. This is going to be a key scripture as we move forward. And I think we touched on it last week. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. You're stepping out, judgment comes. Right? For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. I mean, simple. Not easy, but it's simple, right? For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. For if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are who? God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Okay, So the first thing that we need to understand from this passage is that there's both direct and then there's delegated authority. Everybody say direct. That's God's command in the word for you, right? And then there's delegated, when He has placed authorities of your life. We talked about there's different kinds. There's obviously, we talked about the military ones. You know, obviously there's your social ones, you know, schools, teachers, cops, your parents, obviously. The husband, you know, is the authority in the home. Who else? Like our government officials, you know, at every stage, at every echelon of government. Those are all delegated. They don't have to be good. They don't have to be, you know, righteous in themselves. But the Bible says that He put them there. And here's where people miss it. They think that God is not in control of them. Let me just give you a quick example before we move on, because this is really important that you get this. During the times of the kings, we look at Kings and Chronicles, it says that some of them sinned so severely. It didn't matter later on, there were some good kings, but God said, it's already been established. You're going to go into captivity for 70 years. Okay? So you can end up in another land. They're not believers in Me. But I've established this, and you are to submit to them. And even the prophet Jeremiah said, hey, when you get to that land, you need to, you know, basically live there, get a job, raise your family, stop bucking the systems. It's been appointed that yet you will be there for 70 years, and you will be under the rule of this people. And this is My doing, so stop fighting it. At the end of 70 years, you will return. Amen? So sometimes God appoints people at high levels of government that we're like, why? And this is wrong. This is not godly. And sometimes we're bucking or we're kicking against the goats, like Paul said. Kicking against the goats. And goats are those long sticks that people use to prod the oxen. Very pointy. You know, they're guiding the oxen. The oxen aren't doing what they're supposed to. So they would poke them. And so like the oxen would get mad and kick back. So stop poking me with that thing. But he's got the stick. He's going to keep poking. So sometimes we buck against God's delegated authority in our lives. And we think, what's going on? And what we're doing is we're stepping out from the authority and we're bringing judgment on ourselves. It's easy to submit to the ones that are righteous, the ones that are godly and loving. It's easy for me to submit to Pastor Joseph, I will tell you, because he's an angel. He's a man of God, you know. Never have seen anything perceived with this man that wasn't in line with the word. I mean, I don't have an example of like, oh yeah, I remember when he sinned that one time. No, I can't think of anything. So it's easy for me. But even if he did something that I didn't agree with or that was not according to the word, I still have to submit to him. If he were to tell me to wear a suit and a tie, I would wear a suit and a tie. Is it because it's wrong to wear jeans and a button-up shirt? No. But because my delegate authority told me to do it, and it doesn't go against the written word of God, I have to do it. I'm bound by it. Does that make sense? I want you to understand this, because blessing will come upon you and your family if you will submit to these principles. But you don't know my husband. Well, that's for another story, another message. I just want you to be mulling over some of these subjects, because I'm telling you, they're going to be releasing a blessing. It's like that the scripture says that, you know, it was sweet in my mouth, but then it became bitter in my stomach. Well, this is different. It's going to be bitter in your mouth, but it's going to be sweet in your stomach if you will receive it. Okay? It's good stuff. I'm telling you, the Lord's going to bless you. All right. So, 1 Samuel 15:23. When Saul the king rebelled, look what Samuel, who had anointed Saul, said to him. Rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Remember, the first sin was a sin of rebellion. As the people in the Garden of Eden said, oh no, we know how to do these things better, God. We're going to do it differently. That was rebellion. They were told not to eat from that tree, and that's the tree they went after. Because, oh no, we know better, God. And sometimes we do that with God. Oh, God, we know better. I can buck the system. I can treat my authority this way because you don't know how they are. But if you look at the Hebrew, and I'm getting a lot of this right out of the book Undercover by John Bevere. I really recommend that you get this. It's really important. These are principles that are going to set your life on course for blessing in your life. John Bevere, Undercover, get the book. All right? But it says there, when you look at the Hebrew, it doesn't say it's as the sin of witchcraft. It says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Rebelliousness has its root in pride, and it is a mighty stench to God's nostrils. Some of us obey our authorities. Like, for example, we get pulled over, right? So, sure, we obey. We saw the lights. We obey by pulling over. But then we proceed to give the cop a piece of our mind. That is not having the heart of God. You should bless that authority. You should encourage him from doing what he's doing. That he's watching out and making sure there's a rule of law in our streets. You might be a little bit like this cat right here. Let's look at this meme. So let's get real religious. God, I'm obeying you. I'm being righteous. It's like a smoke grenade. It takes a little bit to take, you know. Just kind of release it. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 45. I want to stay a little bit on the heart of God. Because remember we said, it's not just about being a servant, it's about being an expression. That we want to have the heart of God towards our government. How would God treat our government? How would God treat us? How would God treat the person right next to you? Sometimes we forget that he has placed a special value in their lives. And we disregard that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 4 says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Look at Jesus, what he says. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." We want to impact our world. How will we impact our world is when we have the heart of God and we begin to not just tolerate our enemies, but we love them and we pray for those that persecute us, because there we're showing the heart of the Father, because it was Jesus himself who from the cross, with nails in his hands and his feet, was able to say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do. If they only knew what I knew, they would not be doing that." He prayed for them, and he had mercy for them. This passage has the key to changing our society. Some people, and I'm going to share this now, Linda, some people are locked up in walls of pain and suffering, but also of hatred. And they want to get out of them, but they're not getting out of them the way that God would have them. They're trying their best. They're crying out for help. They're crying out to God. But they don't see that sometimes they're actually fighting God. But if we just get the heart of God, I'm not minimizing the pain. There is a lot of racial tensions. There is a lot of pain out there. But I will tell you, the way out is through the way of Jesus. The way of love. The way of forgiveness. The way of covering a multitude of sins. The way of being free and loving our enemies. If we will get this, we will impact our society. Our society needs this scripture for today. Let's look at verse 41 one more time. Look at it. It says, "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. What does that mean? Well, we got to look at the context and the history of their culture. This refers to a custom of the Persians, and also apparently all adopted by the Romans, where if they had an emissary or a courier on orders, When these carriers had been commissioned to carry a delivery or carry out a mission, they were authorized to take the horse, carriages, and even men along their way and force them to carry their luggage or shipment for a determined duration. So this guy said, "You, over there, grab my bag, carry 1 mile." He says, "You are bound by law to carry for 1 mile." But he says, "I've done the fulfillment of the law, but now I'm going to take it a second mile all on my own." That is the heart of God. That is the heart of God. Are you getting this? To a cruel authority, you say, "I'm going to do what you told me to do, but I'm going to show you, I'm going to do this with, not just unto you, but I'm going to do it unto God with my best authority, with my best attitude, and I'm going to carry this stuff one more mile." Remember the guy that was told, "Hey, carry Jesus' cross? You, grab that cross. Carry." He didn't say, "Whoa, why me?" No, he obeyed. Simon, Cyrene, and he carried it for Jesus. Would you carry the cross that Jesus called you to carry? Would you carry it an extra mile? This is going to set some people free today. So God does not just ask us to obey, He asks us to submit. This has to do with having fear of Him, a reverence and an awe of God. Sometimes we forget how far He's brought us and what He's forgiven us of. Some people in pride, not fully understanding how God operates, kick against the goads. They shadow box. They fight against God Himself and bring judgment and punishment on themselves. This is serious stuff, folks. Let's look at another passage. Paul, before the Sadducees and Pharisees, including the high priest himself. Understand, the high priest was not only the spiritual leader of all the Jews, but he was also their ruler. The Romans had the custom of allowing the people they conquered to rule themselves with their oversight. So with that background, let's look at Acts 23, verses 1 through 5. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered that those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Look at Paul's reply. Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" And we're all guilty of this. We're born rebellious. We've spoken evil of our parents, of our cops, of our government, at every level. Paul was making his defense. We all have these defensive mechanisms. We don't like him when we're treated unfairly. Not knowing that he was high priest, he rebuked him severely. "God will strike you, you whitewash wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, but you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." And you know what? The high priest actually had the authority to do that per Levitical law. But he had incorrectly judged Paul. But Paul submitted. He didn't just submit. You know, he did it with the right heart. He repented. "I did not realize that he was a high priest." And then it says, "Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people." Where does this come from? It comes from Exodus chapter 22, verse 28. If you want to bring this up, it says, "You shall not revile God," notice the direct authority, "nor curse a ruler of your people," the delegated authority. "You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people." Revile, if you look at it in the Hebrew, it means to treat with contempt, to be lightly esteemed, trifling, insignificant, to curse or to bring dishonor. The high priest was utterly wrong, but Paul was still honoring and submissive. after that point. He repented. So we cannot speak evil, revile, or speak contemptuously of our authorities because of every word that we speak. We're going to have to give account to God. Some of us are so quick to judge and speak evil of our authorities. There is a way to point out what's wrong, but it must be the most sobering fear of God. Some of us do it so often that the Holy Spirit will convict us, but we will ignore His conviction. And the next time it becomes easier to speak evil of our rulers. And then it says that our conscience becomes seared. That alarm just gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer in our hearts. Be careful when we touch God's anointed. David could have killed David. Excuse me. David could have killed Saul. Thank you for correcting me. But he did not. He says, because he is the anointed one. Even just cutting the corner of his garment, he felt so convicted because he had the heart of God. Remember, the Bible says that he was made according to God's own heart. He knew how to please God. He was in sync, in parallel with God. We need to have the heart of God for our authorities. So here's what we see. In order to honor God, we must have unconditional submission, but not unconditional obedience. Are you seeing the distinction? Unconditional submission, but not unconditional obedience. We can only disobey our authorities when they ask us to do something that is directly against the written word of God. Like if somebody tells you, hey, go steal that. I've seen parents, I was telling Pastor an example of, I walked into the store, I think it was the clothing exchange actually. I'm going through the aisles, and I see this little kid with a coat, and he's got all these things under his coat. And he sees me, and he looked like he was about 5 or 6. He had walked in with his mother. And he sees me, opens the coat, all the stuff falls out, and he runs out. I was like, this kid was put up to steal by his mother. Anyway, he didn't know any better. But when you know better, you don't have to obey that. Let me give you some examples. We already saw that Paul honored the high priest. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you remember the story in Daniel, I'm going to go quickly through this. It says that they had enacted a law that says that when this music plays, you have to bow down, you know, before this image, right? And it says, if you don't do it, it says you're going to be put in this fiery pit. So the new better from the Ten Commandments is that you shall not bow down before any graven image or anything like that, right? Second commandment. And they stood there on their ground. But they still did it with great submission. Look at this scripture, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. And take note of that we don't need to defend ourselves. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver you from your majesty's hand. They called him your majesty. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, there it is again, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Were they blessed? Yes, Jesus himself stood there in the fire furnace and rescued them. They came out of that place. This is their clothes did not even smell like smoke. When you are under submission, you follow God's principles and laws, you will be protected. But even then they understood, hey, our home is not this earth. And if God doesn't, for some reason, choose to rescue us this time, that's okay. We'll just get there a little quicker. Amen? I hope you're getting this. All right. I'm going to try to wrap this up, put a bow on it, because to me, this scripture just sums up everything we've said. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 12 to 24. I want us to look at it in detail, so as we read it, please pay attention to the principles that are laid out here by Peter. Peter took basically what Paul said in different places and put it all in one chapter. All right? So you got to get this.
Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day He visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by Him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Direct and delegate. You seen that? Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they're conscious of God. You're doing it for God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, and this is the best part, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. If anyone could have spoken up and defended himself, it was Jesus, and He did not. He trusted that His life was in God's hands, and that there was a design for that suffering, and God brought Him through. He resurrected. We were singing about it. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father as an example to us all. When they hurled their insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so we may die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. In the media today, which is not led by the Spirit of God, we're enticed to hatred, to retaliation. We want to get what's right. But I want to tell you, if anyone was treated according to what we deserved, we couldn't be here today. All of us deserve hell this very day. But because Jesus paid the price and set the example of how to suffer and how to love our enemies and how to pray for those that persecute us, there is pain today, but the way is not by kicking against the goads. It's not by fighting back with the arm of the flesh, but it's by the way of forgiveness, the way of love, the way of covering. And this is what happens, people. Really listen. When you trust that God is going to defend you, God wants to step in and be the judge. A lot of people say, let God judge between you and me. That is a good position to be. You just need to have the right heart when you do that. So you're just like, well, God, He wronged me. I want you to just strike Him with a bolt of lightning. No, it's like, God, I feel I'm being treated unfairly. Lord God, I feel that these people are being treated unfairly. But Lord God, I pray that You will bless those people that are coming against them. We bless our enemies, Lord God and Father. But we do pray that You would judge between us. And Lord God, at the right time, it might be 70 years, 400 years, 40 years. God is working something out in history. We trust God's hand. And when you do that, God's like, thank you. Because right before that, God is standing there waiting to move in on your behalf. But while you try to keep fighting yourself, He cannot step in into your situation and defend you.
That's right.
Mistreatments and evil will go on for the history of the world. But we have a job to do, people. We have to impact our society with the love of Christ. So ultimately, it is Jesus' example and Jesus' words which are the greatest value. I mean, I could look at so many examples in history, but I must look at the word as my bearing. Jesus is the perfect example. I know that people throughout history have been mistreated, but my bearing is Jesus. Go the extra mile, people. If they ask you to go a mile, say, hey, I'm going to go the extra mile for you. Unconditional submission, but not unconditional obedience. I'm just summarizing. Number three, show proper respect to everyone. Fear God in it. Honor the emperor. It says there. Number four, live as God's slaves. If you don't have any rights, then you cannot be offended. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In doing so, you are the children of God. Number six, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Number seven, Jesus does not offend himself. We already talked about that. And it says, verse 8, he entrusted, number 8, which is, let me find the verse for you. I lost my place, but if you know, we just read this. It says, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted themselves to him who judges justly. Daniel did so as well. David did so as well. All these people that we see, you know, in the captivity, even Esther and Mordecai. Mordecai. He'd been mistreated. Look, if you really will get this, this is the best example I'll give you all day. They had just written a law that all the Jews are going to be killed in the land and you can take all their possessions. Mordecai could have gone offended by that and hated the king. This is an unjust king. God, I hope that you smite him. But it says that he stood at the gate and he heard two men plotting to kill the king. He didn't say, I hope he gets this. I hope he gets it. We hate this king. But what did he do? He went and made sure that the king found out that there was a plot against his life because he feared God. Was Mordecai blessed? Were the Jews blessed because of it? Where did Mordecai end up? Like Joseph. Number two in command. Hope you get this, people. So in 2 weeks from now, because Ms. Lenora Noren will be here next week to share, she's gonna preach on something else, I would imagine. But in 2 weeks, we will resume this topic of the blessed family. If we cannot talk about where the family is going unless we get this right in our hearts. Amen. We're also going to talk about arguments. There are some arguments, I'm sure, in your mind. Like, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? We're going to hit on some of those next in 2 weeks. All right? So just stay put. Mull this over. Study. If you can, let me give you a little bit of homework. Is that all right? Can I give you a little homework? Study. What do we say? 1 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3, because everything we're going to cover is in these two chapters. All right? All the principles we're drawing out. It talks about first about authorities. Chapter 3 talks about the family. All right? God is good. I know it's sometimes a little bitter. It's going to be sweet in your stomach. All right. Can we stand? Some of us have been wondering why we're struggling. And some of us are wondering whether we should play music while Pastor Eric's closing. And the answer is yes, we need music. I was like, where's the music? And the submitted worship leader, what does he do? Thank you, thank you. Because I think there's some people that need to repent. Yes. Some people that need to repent. Really, the way to move forward is to really repent. God, I thought I was doing the right thing, but I've really been kicking against the goats. I've tried to give justice my own way. But how do we get back under the umbrella protection of our lives? He's a shield about us, right? We love to say that. He has a hedge of protection. We do by coming back into submission to God's direct and delegated authority. So I would ask all of us to close our eyes and to search our hearts. Some of us have not even submitted to the first command that He's given us. Repent of your sins, so the times of refreshing will come upon your life. If you confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But you got to come to the door of repentance. Whatever level of repentance you're at right now, I would just ask that you allow God's fear to wash over you. It's a good fear. It's a reverence for Him. To know, God, I thank You that my whole life is in Your hands. Psalm 139 says, a book has been written about me. All the days of my life have already been preordained. And that You control even the kings that, to me, that may seem cruel. But I thank You, Lord God, there's a design. There's a chronology that I can't see, but that You can see. And at a certain point in time, all this will end. And as we've said many times, as Your word states, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all. We have the choice and the privilege to do that today. You don't want to meet your Maker. Jesus says some of you are afraid of people that can kill your flesh. We're afraid of authorities. We're afraid of those people. He says, don't worry about them. Do not worry about the one that can kill your flesh. Worry about the one that can not only your flesh, but then send your soul into hell. That's who we should fear. If you have not given your life to Jesus, if you're walking in your own authority, then you need to submit to His authority. The times are refreshing. The blessing will come upon your life. So purpose will be released upon your life. Amen. So the provision and protection and authority. Come in your life. I want everybody just to repeat this prayer after me. If you are praying this for the first time, or if you're coming back to Jesus as I pray this, I want you to come forward after this prayer, and I want to pray a little more with you. Is that all right? This is important that we get this, people. You want to have a blessed family, you need to come in through the door of repentance. All of us have a little bit of rebelliousness in us. That's why I'm asking everybody to pray it, because all of us have it. If you think, oh, not me, Lord. I'm talking to you right now. Believe me, I've been doing a lot of repenting this week. I said, Lord, is there stuff in my life? Have I been under submission to my authorities? Have I been bucking the system? Because I don't want to be outside of God's covering. Repeat this after me. Father, I come to You today and I submit to Your authority, to Your lordship. I thank You, God, that while there's pain, there's suffering, and unjust rulers on the earth, You are perfect. You are righteous. You are holy. And You love me. So I declare that I trust You as my authority. And from this day forward, I trust the delegated authorities in my life. You be my shield. You be my protector as I submit to you. Forgive me for all my sin, especially my sin of rebelliousness and the attitude that I have shown towards some of my authorities. Cleanse me, wash me, give me the heart of Jesus. I want more of you. I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for your love. I need you in my life. In Jesus' name, who set the example, I pray. Amen. Come on, keep your eyes closed, lift up your hands, and just begin to cry out to Him.